Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the live webcast. Barry Adams and Mark Jide. Barry from Canada, myself from the UK. So welcome, everybody. It's just such fun. The last few weeks, we've had a number of guests, and it's the two of us tonight. And we're going to be talking about the importance of the heart. Which is a really just foundational but so important topic. We'll get to that in a few moments. But Barry's been spending probably the best part of 2 days doing video recordings. Do you want to tell us a bit about those, Barry?
Well, yeah, we're just doing some recording. You know, of course, in this new world that we're living in, we're all navigating as far as the not being able to go anywhere in person. So, you know, I've just been doing some teachings, recording, just a bunch of them. And of course, Mark and I are going to be having a go at this, in a few weeks as well, having, for online schools and seminars and things. So yeah, I've just been kind of squirreled away in my little, studio. And, but all good. This, as you can tell, I enjoy it. So.
Yeah, it's good fun. And, we're just kind of having so much fun with this new format of beaming live onto Facebook. It's just a lot of fun, eh?
Oh, yeah.
And we really, really enjoyed having Leonard and Leslie Hayes with us last week. And just the depth of heart connection, really, with what they were sharing about. And if you didn't get a chance to see that live, or the video is on the website, just to my website, Barry's website. And, you know, I'd really just encourage you to just spend some time watching it, because what they've been through over the last 10 years, really, as they've walked through their daughter's illness and obviously eventually dying, and then the grief afterwards and the comfort they've experienced, it really was very powerful, wasn't it, Barry?
Yeah, very much. Words fail, as I said last week, for sure. Yeah.
And they, just the way they share their lives.
Amazing.
So if you guys weren't able to see that last week, I would just really, really recommend it to you to watch later. It's because it was a treasure. And of course, a few weeks ago we had, Ingrid Wiltz from Motomioni in Uganda, and she was just throwing in so much treasure in our conversation, and it was so exciting to be able to beam Ingrid in from Uganda on a 3G phone connection, using her phone as a hotspot for her computer, to actually get that broadcast live on the webcast was just, it was a first, but it was very, very satisfying. So, welcome everybody, from all around the world, wherever you are. It's just so great to have you with us. And as I just said a few moments ago, we're going to talk about the heart, because, you know, every significant relationship we have in life is a heart connection. And why do we treat our relationship with God any differently? You know, why do we think it's something in the head or a set of rules or something? You know, I don't relate to my wife out of my head. I don't relate to my kids out of my head. It's a heart connection. I relate to my clients at work from my head. You know, they come to me, they want advice and tax advice and accounting advice and stuff. And that's a very head relationship. But every significant relationship we have is a heart connection. And so this evening, Barry and I are just going to unpack this a little bit. And in a way, I know we're preaching to the choir. But it's good for us to be reminded of the importance of our hearts and how we can relate to the Father from the heart. But just before we start our discussion, I want to play a song. It's called The Father's House by Corey Ashby. It's a new song, came out in February, March time this year. And it's written out of, I guess, the pain of his own journey and his own walk with the Lord. But it's written finding the truth of who he is and his place of, well, his homecoming really, and his place of belonging. And so I'm just going to play this video, and I just invite you, as we listen to this for a few minutes, just to open your hearts and, you know, let the Father speak to you. And there's a couple of lines in this song, which I'll draw out, you know, in the discussion later, but the words will come up on the screen as well as the video, but just let this speak to your heart as we watch it. Mm.
Sometimes on this journey, I get lost in my mistakes. What looks to me like weakness is a canvas for your strength. And my story isn't over, my story's just begun. And failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my Father does. Yeah, failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my Father does.
Wow.
Wow.
You good. Know, that's good, isn't it?
Oh, man, it's amazing.
And it's where we want to be.
Absolutely.
In the Father's house. And the thing that really struck me as I was listening to that the other day is just a couple of lines in there where he says, "You never wanted perfect. You just wanted my heart. Love is breaking through when the Father's in the room." See, and I think sometimes we try to go for perfect, or we're told to go for perfect, or we think that that's what God wants. But actually, we can never hit perfect. You know, if we constantly try and hit perfect, we will constantly fail, because we just can't do it. And the other thing that will happen, if we constantly try and hit perfect, we will end up in religion. That's because we'll have made rules for ourselves. And, you know, what he says in that song is, the Father doesn't want perfect. He just wants our heart. And even today, I had a client phone me up today, and he's a friend of mine. And I probably had the longest phone call I've had with a client. It was an hour and three quarters long.
Wow.
We spent 15 minutes talking about tax and accounts and everything. We spent an hour and a half talking about our hearts. And he was going through a difficult situation, and it was a situation I could identify with and I could understand. And I just listened to him pour his heart out. And I just ended the conversation by saying, you know what? Just follow your heart. You know what's in your heart. You know the truth in your, the Father's put in your heart over 40, 50 years. And just follow what God has put in your heart. And he said over the phone, he said, "Oh, thank you," he said. "I needed to hear that." And, you know, maybe we need to hear that tonight. What is in your heart? Follow your heart. Because Romans 5 verse 5 says, God pours his love into our hearts. Romans 10 verse 10 says, it's with our hearts we believe. And what we want to do this evening, just as Barry and I talk together, is just bring us back to that place of the heart. Hey, Barry?
A big amen, brother. That's, and of course, you know what I'm going to say is that one of the things that makes little children, especially the smaller the child, the better, especially great in the kingdom of God, is that they live from their heart. They have absolutely, they have not, you know, when they go to school, they, you know, oftentimes bless the teachers, they do their best, but you know, sometimes the school systems teach us to not live from our heart, but live from our head. And then there becomes this disconnection. So yeah, I'm with you, brother. it's one of the things that, I don't know. And I'm sure you've had this experience too in your, when you've prayed for people, but you know, there's been many times when I have prayed for people and at varying ages, and you ask them, so what's the desires of your heart? What do you love to do? And when you see people looking in the eye, in your eyes, and they just kind of have this, almost this blank stare and just say, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I've never given myself permission, because I've always done what's been expected of me. And I get a sense, my brother, that today, that this is going to be a time for all of us to really be encouraged, and that maybe there's going to be an aha moment for somebody that says, wow, you mean that's okay. I can live from my heart. I can trust my heart. Because one of the problems is in Jeremiah, I really believe it's an Old Testament, Old Covenant, unredeemed heart, right? That where Jeremiah says the heart is exceedingly wicked. Who can trust it? But that's not a new covenant heart. That's an old covenant heart. And even in the old covenant, when God himself in Ezekiel prophesied to the new covenant. And he said, I will remove your heart of stone and I will give you a heart of flesh and I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you and I will put my spirit in you so you can walk in my ways. And I really think, you know, if anybody's quoting the old covenant, the Jeremiah passage, when it comes to the new heart, the new creation reality, I would just say, reconsider that.
Yeah, it's just interesting what you said about school and little children living from the heart and everything. Many of you know, if you've been on the webcast before, you'll know that I spent 6 years at a boarding school, my teenage years. And I don't know why, I mean, just in the last week or so, I've really just been reflecting on that again. And I think part of the thing is they've just done a really big project, my old school. They've got all the old school photographs, the old black and white negatives. And they scan them. They've got high quality scans and they put them on their website and their Facebook page. So every day it's like there's more of these photos coming up from my years. And of course, the bulk of them, and I went online and I looked at them all for the years that I was at school. And every year we had a house photograph, which of course I'm in because I was there. But of course, all the other photographs are the sports teams.
Mm.
Well, I didn't even look for myself in any of those because I knew I wasn't there. You know, I never made, and you know, I had no interest in sport whatsoever. I never made any of the school teams. And I'm just looking at all of these photos. And of course, it's easy to find me because I'm only in the house photograph. But, you know, I look at these other sports photos and, you know, I realize the performance and the pressure. And I've just really been reflecting on my years at school and seeing again how we were trained and how we were taught to do what we were told. And we lived by the school bell. I mean, literally, you know, in the mornings the bell would ring at every time and then the day would be the school bell, and you know, it was like so regimented. And I just realized how much of that I brought into my relationship with God. You know, that I had to do the right thing, and if I didn't do the right thing there was a punishment. And I'm so glad I've moved so far away from that. But I'm just kind of thinking maybe the Father's just been raising that in me again, because there's a little bit more he wants to dig out. And, you know, because of course my experience of boarding school is so different to what Barry was just talking about living from the heart, the little child. And I think the more we go on in this journey, you know, the Father very, very gently puts his finger on things. And he doesn't do it to condemn. He doesn't do it to judge. He doesn't do it to remind us of the punishment that we lived under. But he does it because he wants us to be free. You know, perfect love casts out all fear. And so kind of, just the last few weeks I've been reflecting on that and thinking about it. And just so grateful for the journey I've been on these past 18 years or so of living in freedom or discovering more freedom.
Yeah, I love the passage of scripture, and I forget where it is now, that maybe you remember because I've heard it from you, but it's the scripture that talks about God bringing us into wide open spaces, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember that scripture?
It's Job 26, I think, Job 26:36.
And what is it? Can you quote it? Or?
Yeah, it says, you've led me from the jaws of distress into a wide open space, free from restriction, to a table of comfort led with choice food. You know, that's got to be the best thing, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, and I know for me, that's what I've discovered. I've discovered that wide open space.
Yeah.
And I remember I was at the beginning of the year, I was with Trevor and Linda. We were doing an A school in the UK. And I remember sitting with Trevor just in the lounge one day, him and I having a chat. And I said, Trevor, you know, I've discovered the wide open space. Mm. You know, I've discovered that place of freedom, a table of comfort laden with good food, with choice food. Mm. And I said, I'm just aware that there are things that happen that they try and drag you back into the jaws of distress. And I said, I just don't want to go there, you know. But I'm aware of it now, and I'm aware of the things that are sucking me back.
Yeah.
And I just think, no, not going there.
But it kind of reminds me of when Paul was talking to the Galatians, and he said, you know, you foolish Galatians, who bewitched you, having begun in the Spirit, yeah, are you going to perfect it or complete it by human effort? It's just like, and there is this tension, I think, sometimes, yeah, right? Yeah. We actually forget the freedom that we have, and we, you know, go back to the jaws of distress.
Yeah.
who wants to go in the jaws of distress? Could you imagine somebody? No, not me. I don't want to go.
No, it's like, and why? Anyway, we don't want to go there, do we? But it's like that. The verse beginning of Galatians five, verse one. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. I mean, yes. I used to think that was a really stupid verse. Because, you know, well, of course it's for freedom.
Yeah.
And then I suddenly saw it one day. I suddenly saw that we are set free from something in order to be free to be someone. Mm. Mm. And I realized I'd spent my life majoring on what I'd been set free from.
Mm.
And I hadn't realized that I'd been set free from that in order to be free to be.
Yeah.
And when we realize that, that's what Paul is saying in Galatians 5 verse 1. It's for freedom. It's the freedom to be that we've been set free from something. Mm. And yeah, and most of us look back at what we've been set free from, and with grateful hearts, and we say, Father, thank you that you set me free from that. But we focus on what we've been set free from, and we don't look at the wide open space that the Father's given us to be free in.
Well, it's kind of like Paul saying, you know, forgetting what is behind.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I press on to the high calling of the mark of Jesus Christ, you know, that it is that focus on the freedom that, you know, when Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed, right? Yeah. So it's a big deal. It's a big freedom. And, I'm with you on that. We need to, explore that and unpack that and revel in it and just rejoice and enjoy that amazing freedom that God has secured for us in Christ. So yeah, it's so good, eh?
It is good. And it's our hearts that are set free.
Yeah.
You know, like I said at the beginning, every significant relationship is a heart connection.
Yeah.
And what the Father does in our heart is, you know, he wants to get all the stuff out of it, so it's a free heart, so that it can be more fully connected to him, who's the source of life. You know, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and life in all its fullness.
Yeah.
And, you know, we read those verses, we know those verses, but we settle for so little.
Yeah.
And, you know, the more our heart is free, the more we allow him to pour his love into our hearts, the more we discover this life in all its fullness and the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. And, you know, I was just talking to my friend this morning, and, you know, I could really identify with what he was saying, and I could understand his journey. And he said to me, I don't get it, Mark. He said, I'm trying to live a life of freedom and everybody's trying to stop me. And I said, I said something that I won't repeat, but I I said, you just follow the light that's in your heart.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and he said, but why is everybody, why are people trying to, I mean, these are people in the church, you know. Why are they trying? And I said, just, you know, let them go their way, but you go, you go your way. Because that's freedom for you. That might be freedom for them, but you go in the path of life and, you know, let your heart lead. Let your heart lead you.
Yeah.
Because I said, we're so used to our minds leading us. But I said, let your heart lead you.
Yeah.
And that's a challenge for us, I think, because, you know, as Barry said, you know, our heart is evil, it's deceitful above all things. And we've grown, we've become conditioned to not being able to trust our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
But I really believe we can trust our hearts. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 14, he said, I'm going to the Father and we, plural, we will come back and we will make our home with you.
Yeah.
And where does he make his home? He makes his home in our hearts.
Yes.
And, you know, Jesus said, look, I'm going back to my Father and then we are going to come and we're going to make our home with you. We're going to make our home in your heart. And that amazes me, hey Barry, because I know what my heart's like.
Mm.
And I think if I was God, I wouldn't want to make my home in that place. You know, because I know my attitudes, I know my thoughts, I know the stuff. I know it's not anywhere near perfect. And yet the Father says, I don't mind.
Yeah.
That's where I want to make my home. And that's what we heard in the song at the beginning. He never wanted perfect. He just wants our heart.
Mm.
And I want to encourage you this evening that whatever you feel your heart is like, and you know, come on, we're all a bit messed up, apart from Barry. You know, we're all a bit messed up. We're all poor. You know, David, King David describes himself, this is King David, right? He describes himself as being poor and needy. You know, and if he described himself as being poor and needy, you know, what does that say for the rest of us? You know, I just want to encourage you, whatever you feel your heart is like, you don't have to bring a perfect offering to the Father.
Mm.
But just bring your heart as it is today, right now, in this webinar, this webcast, whether you're watching it live or whether you watch it later, just bring your heart as it is right now and bring it to him and say, Father, here I am. Here's my heart.
Yeah.
Just come and, you know, come and make your home in my heart, you know.
Wow.
And just let him take that place. And just let him take more of that place.
Mm.
Because he's not after perfect. He just wants you.
Yeah. I think of Psalm 51, verse 16 and 17, where again David is praying and he says, you do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. So that's kind of the perfection that we're thinking about, right? The doing it exactly right. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart you will not despise. And I'll tell you, that is the best news ever.
Yeah. It gives us all hope, doesn't it?
Oh my goodness, it is fantastic.
And we know what David was going through when he wrote that psalm, when he wrote Psalm 51.
Yeah.
You know, he just murdered someone, he just committed adultery. And Nathan the prophet points his finger at, you know.
Yeah.
And David responds out of his heart. See, David could have had Nathan killed.
Mm.
You know, he could have had him put in prison. You know, here is somebody challenging the king. And you didn't do that. But David responds out of his heart and says, oh man, I've messed up.
Yeah.
I've made a mess of my life, you know, and come on, don't we all feel like that sometimes?
Yeah.
You know, we've made a mess of things. Maybe we feel ashamed. And that song said, leave your shame at the door. Leave your shame at the door, you know. And, you know, we feel like we can't come close.
Mm.
But David, in Psalm 51, he shows us the way to come close. He says, he realizes, he gets the revelation. It's not about sacrifice. It's not about offering. It's about bringing this broken heart.
Yeah.
And saying, Father, this is your home.
Yeah. Well, when you look at even what, in a sense, drew the Lord to David, he said, you know, when he said, man looks on the outward,
mm-hmm.
but God looks upon the heart.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he and of course, from what I've read, I may be wrong, but I don't think David was a particularly tall man. He wasn't like a Saul, King Saul type size. But it was like the Lord was looking for a man after his own heart, right? Yeah. And that's what the Father is looking for us. It's just that he wants our hearts. He just loves our hearts. And, you know, for us to be able to love our heart too, you know, and one of the things that I think in the struggle in all this is, you know, we live in a world of, and of course, being in the newspaper business for 19 years in advertising, I kind of have a bit of an understanding of some of the motivations for all the media, but it's like it's constantly creating this insecurity in the sense that you need to buy this product or service in order to feel better, or in order to, in a sense, very subtly, you know, if you have this, then everything will be fine. But it generates this restlessness and this insecurity and this continual tendency to compare ourselves with other people and, you know, and try to be like other people, you know, and of course, you know, I think that's one of the things that the enemy is just trying to do, you know, when in John 10:10, the thief comes to kill, steal and destroy. And the word destroy is to render useless. And it's like if he can keep Barry Adams distracted and comparing himself with the most amazing Mark Jai, the one who runs like a deer and he could never catch him and so quick and so wonderful in every way. If I spend my life trying to be Mark Jai, then I'm robbing the world of Barry Adams.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things. And whether the world needs Barry Adams or not, for some reason, the Father thinks it's I'm okay.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned that, you use that word restless. You know, always got to have more, the latest thing, do the latest thing, have the, you know, whatever. And restlessness means, the word restless means there's always something more you've got to do in order to be loved or valued or accepted. Yeah. And we live in that, our hearts are restless. You know, when Cain had killed his brother Abel, and we read the story in Genesis chapter 4. But when Cain has killed Abel and God the Father comes to him and says to him, where is your brother? And Cain says, me? I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, yeah, of course he was supposed to be, of course. But, you know, and God says to him, because of what you've done, you will be a restless wanderer on the face of the earth. I mean, isn't that, to me, that is so tragic. I mean, if you ever wanted a definition of the orphan heart, that's it. A restless wanderer. And, you know, the truth is, until our hearts come home, until we know we've come home, there is something inside each one of us that is restlessly wandering.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we are restless wanderers because we feel there is something more we've got to do in order to be loved, in order to be accepted, in order to be valued. And of course, the opposite is so true as well. Mm. When we come home, when our hearts come home, we discover, or we begin to discover, and it grows within us, we discover that place of rest.
Yeah.
And when we are at rest, there is nothing more we need to do in order to be loved or valued or accepted. You know, and many of us, I think we can identify in our hearts the restlessness. And we don't like it. Because it drives us. But when we find that place of belonging, that place of security, we find that place of rest. Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. But he says that in the context of no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Therefore, come to me and I will give you rest. See, I really believe that the only way we discover true rest is by having a revelation of the Father.
Yeah.
And knowing the Father. Mm. Because it's the only answer.
Well, you know, we were created, you know, I remember reading in one of the books that I think it was Jack Frost's book, that there's a four basic emotional needs of the human heart. And it's to be loved unconditionally, to belong to somebody, to receive praise and affirmation, and to have a sense of purpose and destiny. And I really believe when the Father spoke the words over Jesus at his baptism, he touched on every emotional need in our heart. You're my son. That means he belonged to the Father, in whom I love, unconditional love. In him I am well pleased, praise and affirmation, and immediately Jesus went and fulfilled his destiny. And I really believe that's what we're, the heart's cry is. We are crying to be loved and accepted and affirmed, and that we belong somewhere, and that, you know, the Father has a place for us. And as you're saying, everything that we're looking for is square in right in the heart of the Father.
Just as, you know, over the last couple of days, as I've been thinking about this evening and just reading again and stuff, I read that passage in Ephesians chapter 1, you know, so well known. You know, Paul prays, he says, for this reason, and in a minute I just want to look at what that reason is, but he says, for this reason, because of this, I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father. See, Paul starts this amazing prayer and he punches it home. He says, I'm talking about the God of our Lord Jesus, who, by the way, he is the glorious Father. And he says, I'm asking that this glorious Father will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know him better. And I just find that so wonderful, that the Father, the glorious Father, he gives us a gift. He gives us the very thing that we need to enable us to know him better. He gives us, the Father gives us a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we can know the Father better.
Yeah.
And then he says, you know, I'm giving you this spirit of wisdom and revelation so you can know him better. And I'm praying, Paul says, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened or opened in order that you may know the hope to which you've been called. You know, he gives us a spirit of wisdom and revelation so we get to know him, who he really is. The eyes of our heart are open so we know who we really are.
Yeah,
that we're sons, that we're daughters. And, you know, Paul starts off this prayer and he says, for this reason, because of this, you know, and why does he say that? Well, let's go back to the beginning of chapter 1 of Ephesians, where Paul starts off, and it's a tremendous passage. He says, Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, because he chose us in him. The Father chose us in the Son before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless. In love, the Father predestined us to receive the full rights of sonship. See, this all originates in the Father's heart. His plan has always been from before the beginning of the world, is that Barry and I would be sons.
Yeah.
You know, and that's his plan. And his plan is for you, that you would be sons and daughters. It's not something he dreamt up on the spur of the moment. This has been in his heart from before the foundation of the world, before creation. He chose us to be sons and daughters. This is what's always been in his heart. And, you know, he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He's chosen us to be sons and daughters. He's given us the forgiveness of sins. And then, you know, we got all this catalogue of wonderful blessings that have been poured upon us. And Paul says, it's because of all of this, you know, everything that's in the Father's heart, that we would be sons and daughters, that we would be holy and blameless, that we would be blessed with every spiritual blessing. It's because of this, Paul says, I'm praying that the eyes of your heart may be opened. So that you can see what is in the Father's heart for you. And as I think Barry said, sometimes we struggle to believe that. And I believe what the Father wants to do for us today, what he wants to do for us this evening as we're watching, as we're listening, is he wants to give us that aha, that wow moment. That we can see that the eyes of our heart would be open, so that we can see what has been in his heart for all of eternity. It's that we would know that we're sons and daughters, that he is being a father to us. It's his plan.
And he likes us.
He does. That's what's even more amazing, isn't it, Barry?
Well, you know, it's so funny because, you know, oftentimes when we think of the love of God, we think of the agape love of God, which is the, you know, the big love, the unconditional love of God for humanity. And you know, I think sometimes we think that that kind of love is almost like an obligation love that he has for us, that he has to. You know, Jesus died for us, so he has to. But he doesn't necessarily like us, you know. And I know I've said this before, but when I was a young Christian, a leader in our church came up to me one day and said, I love you in the Lord, Barry, but I don't like you very much. And I'll tell you, I didn't feel loved either. And sometimes I think we feel that way with God. And, you know, we think that it's more just an obligation that he has to love us. And yet, in John 16, in verses 25 to 27, when Jesus says the Father himself loves you, he doesn't even use the word agape love, which is a great word for love, but he uses the word phileo love, which is a brotherly, affectionate, a kind family love. And it's like he likes you. He really enjoys you. So when we begin to believe that that's the truth, that the way that he has created us, the way, you know, he designed us, the way he is orchestrated our heart and our heart's desires is it brings him joy. He actually enjoys it. And then so if we can just come into agreement with his opinion of us, I think that's when we begin to love our neighbor as we love ourselves.
Yeah. I was just thinking, Barry, if, you know, when we were testing out this software a few weeks ago, and you were playing with all the video effects and the green screen and you know, and I mean, you know, that is so much Barry's thing. And I remember saying to you, you know, how alive you'd come.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, Barry said to me one day, he said, I don't even know if I'll use this, but I'm just having so much fun seeing if I can do it. And I thought, you know, yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? It's like, yeah, that's what it's all about, is finding the Father's favor in the everyday things of life. And, you know, it's, I don't know, you can find his favor in your job. I mean, I really hope you enjoy your work. I really hope you see your work as a gift from the Father. And, you know, you are allowed to go to work and enjoy yourselves. You know, if you go for a walk in the countryside, I mean, for me, I love photography. You know, I love walking around with my camera, taking pictures. I may never use them, but I just like to do it. And I feel like sometimes when I'm doing that, the Father's smiling and saying, hey, just look down there. Can you see that angle? Can you see the river? Can you see the light? And, oh, yeah, take the photograph. And it's just the fun of doing that. And, you know, I don't like saying it, but because people misunderstand what I'm saying. But, you know, we don't view something as mundane as photography, we don't view that as a spiritual thing, because we've got this stupid idea that we have to have spiritual and non-spiritual, you know, and it doesn't work like that, you know, because everything we do is spiritual, because we're spiritual beings. So, you know, going for a walk, enjoying the beauty of nature, taking some photographs, playing with videos and stuff, the Father can smile on us when we're doing that. You know, I actually quite like cooking, you know, and it's just fun. And just playing around. And, you know, you can do that and you can feel a Father smiling on you. Because he's saying, hey, son, that's good.
Yeah.
And we, in all these little everyday things of life, we can feel the Father's pleasure. Simply, as Barry's just said, because he likes us. And he's just, you know, he likes to have a laugh with us and enjoy us. And, yeah, it's great.
Well, it's like Eric Lytle in Chariots of Fire, the movie, where he was a fast runner from the UK, right? Yeah. And he just, I just love this, the saying when he says, God made me to run fast. Yeah. And when I run, I feel his pleasure.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, whatever we do, let's just, you know, let's just believe that the Father's pleasure is on us.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, I'm coming back to that song again, that it's the Father's house. You know, the Father's in the room. And what a place we live in. You know, there's a lot of mess out in the world. I mean, come on. You know, the world's not in a good place at the moment, is it? You know, I've given up on the news, to be honest.
Yeah.
But my hope is not in the world. My home is not, you know, I, in a sense, I've got a house and a place to live here. But my true home, more and more I'm discovering, is in my Father's heart and his, you know, in that embrace. And it's just such a better place to be. And it's just such a secure place to be. And I just want to encourage us that we find our home in his arms. It's just good.
Yeah, and you know, one thing that's been kind of going around the world a little bit, I think it's gone quite viral, is this new song, The Blessing. And it comes from Number 6, and it's just been such a blessing to watch all the different versions and, you know, worship leaders from different churches joining together. But I just want to read the New Living Translation version, just this is very short. And I just love how it's expressed. It says, and this is Numbers chapter 6, starting at verse 24, it says, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. And I just think that, you know, what would life look like for all of us is to know that the Lord is smiling on us. When we're taking photographs, when we're, you know, in outer space on green screens and, you know, having a nap or whatever, the Lord is always smiling.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I just that song has just been such an amazing blessing. And just watching it of different countries and speaking a blessing. And it just reminds me of that verse that says, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord.
Yeah.
And, you know, we didn't do anything to make it happen.
No.
It's just like the Father saying, I want to bless you. I want to bless your children. I want to bless your grandchildren. I want to bless your great-grandchildren. You know, I'm for you. And
yeah,
I just want us to realize today that God is for us.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know what preconceived ideas you came with this, at the start of this broadcast. I don't know what you're feeling. I don't know what you're struggling with. And I do realize, and I do understand that many of us are struggling with many, many difficult things. Not just because of the virus situation, but stuff going on in our lives and in our families. Yeah. And, you know, I know that's there. And the Father just wants to say, I want to bless you.
Yeah.
I want to bless you with my presence. And, you know, for many of us, I guess, when we've come into an experience of the love of the Father, it's been through the Father's embrace. You know, Barry's told his story many, many times, how Jack Winter just put his arms around him and said, you know, here's a little boy who needs to be loved.
Yeah.
And James Jordan put his arms around me and said, let these arms be your arms, Father. And may this son know that he's loved. And that's what the Father wants to do for each of us, is he just wants to put his arms around us, take us into his embrace, and smile upon us.
Yeah.
And as he, you know, Romans 5:5 says he pours his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And that's what he wants to do for each one of us. And maybe we'll just take a few moments now just to pray that blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you. The Lord give you peace. I believe there's people here today watching who've got a restless heart. And what the Father wants to do is he wants to reveal himself to you so you come to a place of rest.
Yeah.
And so,
yes, Lord.
Father, we just ask you to come. We thank you that you're with us in the stillness, in the quietness.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, we just want you to come and wrap your loving arms around us. That, Father, we would feel your presence. That we would see that smile. Father, those of us who've been driven to find perfect, Father, may we lay that aside, because you don't want perfect, you just want our heart. Father, for those of us who are carrying a big baggage of shame, we just want to leave that outside and run into your open waiting arms. Father, may the eyes of our heart be opened, that we would see your original intention for us. That before the creation of the world, you wanted us to receive and to live in the full rights of sonship. Father, would you just come and envelop us in your arms of love? Smile upon us. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Father, thank you for your great love. hold your hearts before him and say, Father, here's my heart.
Mm.
He knows what it's like. He knows what it's like better than you do.
Mm.
And just say, Father, here's my heart. I want this to be your home.
Big amen to that.
Mm-hmm.